Hi, everybody. Welcome to My The Asshole Podcast. I'm Danny Vega, joined by my lovely, lovable co-host, Sarah Levine. Sarah, fresh off her Costa Rica trip. How are you today?
I'm tan-er.
Yeah, I think.
I'm more relaxed. It was tan. So nice. It was perfect.
You're tan.
Thank you.
It was perfect, You like the Costa Rica. It was Rica indeed.
Yes, I know. I thought that when I was there. I was like, oh, I guess that's what that means. No, I mean, it was great. It was like a very good mix of like relaxing and also like adventure. We did zip lining. I think we did the largest zip line in Central America. That was fun.
Wow, I did not.
Got some hikes.
I did not think you would do that. I did not see you as an adrenaline seeker like that.
Yeah, I mean, like my summer camp had a zip line. I did it like multiple times every year. This one was a lot easier. At my camp, you'd have to climb up like a huge rope ladder and then tight rope basically across these two wires and then climb up a tree to do a zip line. But this one, you step on this platform, they hook you up, like literally they attach a hook to you and then they like push you off and you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I guess. And maybe this is unfair, but I went to Mexico with my father was there. Yeah, I think I maybe called my dad. I don't remember the situation, but it was Vito. Yeah, no, it was with my dad. We went to a tequila farm, and then they had like a crazy zip line. And honestly, his defense, I think it kind of looked like someone had died recently, that there had been some kind of incident. But yeah, he's like, never allowed to do zip lining in any, I believe he said third world country, which is maybe not, maybe fact check on that, but you get it.
I would say that this is like super, like, I mean, they had a huge system. It was not on some random person's farm. It was like a whole like park.
Oh, okay.
There were like four zip lines. They also had like a little animal sanctuary. There was like a ton of activities at this place. It was like a destination.
Right.
I wouldn't just go into some person's backyard, but it was highly, highly organized.
Okay. Well, that's great. I'm happy you had a good zip. Is that what you call that? You took a zip?
Good, nice little zip.
Well, a huge shout out to all our new patrons. This is absolute
Holy
madness.
Smokes.
I can't say enough. I am absolutely so grateful to all these new patrons. I mean, this list here, it's Ariel, Sarah, Juan, Leo, Delaney, Riley, Nicole, Katie. I feel like, what's his name with the reindeer? Santa. Chelsea, low-key music. Oh, I like low-key music. We love low-key music. Jenna,
yes.
Ryan, Noah, Elizabeth, Kaylia, Beth, McNicky, Shan, Aaron, Andrea, Skylar, Katie, Kat, Dan, and Emma. Welcome. Oh my God. Look at that.
Woo!
That's incredible.
It's like a paragraph.
Guys, it means so much to us that you support the pod. I mean, even if you're not a patron, you just listen. I appreciate the shit out of that. I'm a little anxious, Sarah, because we're probably going to put some ads on this bad boy. Sorry, guys. We kind of want some money. It does take quite a bit of effort. If I can,
right? Sorry for not wanting to do a part-time job for free.
Yeah, yeah. Because somebody was like, I love how there's no ads. And I was like, well, that might not always be true. Anyway, suffice it to say.
It's like, wow, I love how the podcast is not popular.
Yeah. Well, actually, and maybe me and Sarah will get greedier, but due to a thing I didn't understand, you can now access every single episode that has ever come out in our feed. I like changed a thing. I didn't realize it was limited to 100. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, other podcasts will only give you like 50 episodes in front of the paywall, but we're keeping it generous for now. Maybe we'll get miserly as time goes on. But I think there's quite a bit of content. And yeah, thanks again, guys. And thanks for joining us. And love to see it, folks.
We sure do.
Update on AITA for not hosting a BRIS. This is an OP writing back in, which we love to see, people.
We truly do.
OP writes, I heard your verdict on my submission and wanted to clarify a few things and apologize for any insensitivity. Sarah pointed out I had a lot of my facts wrong, which surprised me because all my information was coming right from my mother-in-law.
I fully believed
a bris was supposed to take place on the dining room table by a rabbi, not a moil, and that it was 5 days after the birth. So basically, what I learned from this is she has no idea what she's talking about.
No.
I should also clarify that she never actually formally converted. She stopped being a practicing Catholic and started identifying as Jewish. Sarah, I'm deeply sorry if I cause any offense. I should not have compared it to baptism. Clearly, this is incorrect, and I wasn't drawing correct parallels. Well, OP, thank you so much for owning it. I guess I should let Sarah respond. Yeah.
I mean, now I'm mad that I was mad because this lady, like, OP, I'm sorry. Like, your mother-in-law clearly has no idea what she's talking about. I'm mad that she's not, formally right. Jewish and is throwing around and is slinging like anti-Semitism accusations.
Wow.
Like, that is so, oh my God, I'm fucking mad about that now. And I'm sorry that I came for you because, like, God damn it.
I mean, this is just so classic, you know, of weaponizing the, you know, anti-Semitism, you know, and it's just, people love it.
I know. And I don't want to, like, say this because, like, in Judaism, like, whether you're born into Judaism, whether you converted, like, you are, you know, perceived equally in the eyes of, like, the community and God and everything. But I'm kind of like, you're not even really Jewish if you didn't convert. Right. And you're not, and you weren't born Jewish, like, to any Jewish, like, grandparents or parents. I'm just kind of like, I don't understand what you're doing here, lady.
What are you doing? Get it straight.
Well, now people are going to come for me over that, but whatever. I'm mad at this lady. But, OP, I think by now you have given birth, so I just want to say congrats.
There we go.
I'm glad you found a compromise that works for you and your husband. And honestly, don't let this lady stress you out. Just come back to us in 13 years when she's pressuring you to do a bar mitzvah.
There we go. Keep us in the loop. I like right. how you said, you know, people might come for me for this too. That's all life is. Life is just a series of different groups of people coming for you. That's just what
Seriously.
It is.
And you and it's never the thing that you think.
Yeah.
They're going to cover you over. It's always just
never,
like.
Never.
What? It's always, what? I can't believe that this prissy bitch said she didn't like red lentil pasta and not. Like, oh my. I forgot to include that. I forgot.
Shout out to my guy on Twitter who really went the fuck off about pastas. Because what did you, my guy Leon.
It was like a rhyming, like, poetry almost.
Who the F are these pasta police who get to say what is or isn't pasta? Pasta gatekeeping when people are starving in the streets? Look at us, torn apart when we could be carb loading together on calorie conscious carbonara. Fantastic fettuccine feast for family and friends. Sophisticated soirees of touching spaghetti. I don't particularly care for gluttonous gatekeeping Goldilocks whose privileged palates prefer particular pastas.
I kind of want to say something that I will regret, but like... If you just reason it out, me not liking the fucking bougie alternative pasta is the opposite of like having a privileged palate. Like I like the cheap semolina flour shit.
Sure,
like,
sure, sure.
So just I'm kind of like, on. You're wrong for that.
Oh,
I'm like, you're wrong for that.
You basically ran into like the troll that makes you solve his riddle to get across the bridge. And you're like, well, actually, your riddle is factually false here.
Yes,
Mr.
That's
troll.
What I'm saying. I'm like, if you're going to insult me, at least come correct. I think actually, if I only ate these alternative chickpea pastas, that would give me a privileged palate.
I thought maybe,
whatever, man.
Maybe this is just the fact that you know I got a lot of poetry coming my way, and I like to receive a poem. I guess it was kind of directed at you, insultingly, so maybe that's why I was able to enjoy it. But
I liked the I liked the carb conscious carbonaras and. That was very fun wordplay. That was almost like a slam poem.
It was fun. We had some
fun
there.
It was
fun.
I mean, if you're going to like insult us, like do it in a slam poem for sure.
I thought it was a very high effort diss. I mean, if our,
for sure.
If our negative reviews were little like rhymes like this, it would be a lot better for me.
I know. Put some more alliteration, guys. Come on. Like learn from this guy.
Danny thinks he's a hit, but he's actually shit. I'd be like, all right,
there
we go. I'm receptive. Let's go.
Be like, all right, bars.
Let's do this. Yeah, hit me with the beat, baby. Link your SoundCloud. Let's go. Speaking of negative reviews, some gem and a half wrote in to say, write it in. What is wrong with me, guys?
Doing
write
great.
It in. AITA for thinking your negative reviews are absolutely ridic. Started listening to pods to improve my general knowledge after coming dead last in a trivia competition, but somehow ended up on AITA pod.
I was like, well, we're not going to help you with that, but...
That's hilarious, yeah. I can't think of a pod with less, like, applicable trivia knowledge or facts.
Yeah.
It's always, like, me being like, I read a study maybe, one time that women divorce men more often when the sun's out.
Oh, my God.
Out.
Unless the trivia question is like, finish the sentence, discretion is the better part of blank.
How many COVID breakups did Danny have? Boom, that is the fact. No, but maybe there's some insights to be gained, some wisdom. I don't know.
Sure.
OP goes on, though. Love the pod and your banter, but can't help but get frustrated listening to your negative reviews. Maybe it's a cultural difference. I am from Australia. We love an Australian listener. Shout out to Hannah. But I can't believe how hashtag triggered your negative reviews are. people complaining about your voice, certain words with no malintent, or just the fact that you're advertising your Patreon on a free podcast. P.S. Show me a pod that doesn't do this. Keep on doing you and ignore those negative reviews and no constructive or valid feedback. Thank you so much, OP. Great to hear it. And
thank you.
We love an Australian. So I sourced this image off Twitter or Reddit or something, and I kind of made it an AITA. AITA for posting a viral photo of a stranger's text messages in which she admits on a plane that she has COVID. And
woo, I saw this. It stressed me out, this picture.
Yeah, I think everything about this gives me anxiety. We got a platinum blonde woman probably in a kind of a red hat, like a beanie thing. And her the font size on her phone is, you know, 4,000 or so. So
large. It's quite large.
Read it. And so what we're seeing between two airplane seats. So OP is kind of peering right through and seeing this ginormous phone. And it says, "We have COVID," is in the text message, which is really the only part you need to know. We have COVID and we're on
a plane.
This
reminds me of, like, there was this woman on this plane to Iceland or something who I guess got her PCR test on the plane. It was positive. She quarantined in the bathroom for the remainder of the flight. And everyone was like, "Oh, this woman is a hero." But I'm like, I had to certify that I wasn't awaiting the results of a PCR before I got on my flight.
I'm trying to maybe hear her side. But yeah, I mean, that sounds like you did something crazy and then did something crazy to try to make up for it. But guess what?
Right.
The whole thing was still crazy, but maybe there's something I don't know.
I know. I'm like, I guess you like did a nice thing in the end and like a huge self-sacrifice, but I'm also like, I feel like if you were worried you had COVID, you shouldn't have got and exactly. You knew that your test was incoming, like you shouldn't have been on the plane.
Yeah, I shot a guy, but then I carried him to the hospital, so what, you gonna act like I'm a bad person?
Yeah,
you know. I shot him in the leg.
So true. What's interesting about this text message is I feel like more of the commenters in our Facebook group are coming for this person for like spying or posting this image than they are for this lady who got on the plane, like, knowing she has COVID.
Yeah, I mean, I can see some of that. It is a little snoopy, but, like, you know,
for sure.
There's nothing identifying about it. It's, you know, extremely vague, so no one could find her. I think it's wrong to dox. I think doxing is wrong. So if you know, and that's a common policy across Reddit, don't give any personal identifying information, because there's crazy people who actually show up at their house or, like, really do some kind of crazy shit.
I don't agree with doxing, obviously, but I also don't really agree with the internet trend of like people filming random strangers and like posting it on the internet, like people who are just minding their business, you know?
You mean like me running around New York City yelling at people on Halloween? Like, what do you mean?
No, because they like know that they're being filmed.
Oh, you mean like when people,
like if I just see someone like if I see someone across the street or like standing next to me in a line for something and they're wearing something really weird, you know, I don't think you should be like taking a picture and posting that unless it's your close friends list, then like fine or whatever. But
Oh, interesting.
I don't like that trend of like these people are just kind of minding their business and
like subway creatures. Like you saw some weird guy on the subway dressed
up.
Yeah,
it's like I do love subway creatures, but at the same time, sometimes I am like, these are just normal people minding their business who probably didn't ask to be put on this huge platform.
Yeah, I mean, look, if somebody wants to ride around New York City with their snakes, that's perfectly legal.
Right. But I'm like, if you're, I don't know, like doing something bad, then, you know, I can get behind a shaming. But I'm like, if you're just wearing like your alligator costume because that's what you like, I'm just kind of like, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I agree with you because I'm like, why are you shaming someone that, you know, you're yucking their yum, classically speaking here. But I partly think those people who do ridiculous things like walk around with a snake on their shoulders, like they want to be noticed. Like that's.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking more of just like low level, not super attention grabby things, but like things that are personally like weird or irksome to another person. I don't know, like if someone was wearing like an odd choice in footwear, but they weren't wearing like coconuts on their feet, you know, something like that, where I'm just like, I think when you're out in public, there should be a reasonable expectation of like, not privacy per se, but like that you're not just going to get randomly put on the internet for like walking to the grocery store.
I think you shouldn't put a fingerprint on it. I think that's the rule. You know, if it's going to be uniquely identifying to them, you know, you put their face in there or something like that, that's pretty messed up, you know. But if it's just like you can never tell who it was unless you actually ran into them wearing whatever ridiculous thing they're wearing, then I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much. But I think it's a good point. And I think you're being ethically minded by looking at it that way, because it is kind of a normalized thing. And It is kind of fun shaming at times. That's fucked up.
Yeah. I don't like love that trend. I think like people should have the right to go about their business.
You have the right to dress like a moron and not be publicized everywhere. I think you're right. I think you're right. It's mean spirited. It is.
We all have that right.
I
don't know. So as far as this lady, do we need to come to a verdict on it?
I mean, look, I think she got peeked on. Her phone is so big, which, you know.
I'm like wondering what was even transpiring for this person to go peek, because I've never thought to do that on a plane. And I feel like you really got to like put your eye right up to that seat hole to see someone else's text messages, like size 400 font or not. Like, you can't casually like peek and see that. It's not like when someone's sitting on the subway and I'm standing above them and I look down and I'm like, I'm sorry, I just found out your social security number. Like, you have to really try here.
I mean, in this case, I think this is legitimately shameful behavior. And look, guys, I mean, I can't, if I sit here and say you're an asshole for trying to read what's on someone else's phone, then God, who among us isn't an asshole? Isn't that like one of the best things in life? Trying to see what?
Oh, facts.
And can I just say, it is never interesting. I have looked at so many people's screens and stuff. It is literally the most boring email I've ever read in my entire life. My life got worse. I read it and I was like, oh, I can't believe this is the planet we're on. This fucking sucks.
And you're
so
like,
much.
God, I got to circle back now.
Oh, I'm in this whole process. Oh, I just became a project manager for fucking Cisco Systems. Kill me with a
Seriously.
Gun.
Seriously. One time I did see someone like on the Betches Instagram and I wanted to be like, oh my God, that's me. But I was like, there's no way that's gonna play.
Wait, I don't understand. You saw yourself on what Instagram?
I saw someone next to me on the subway was like on the Betches Instagram, and I wanted to be like, oh my God, I work there. But I was like, there's not gonna be a way where that's gonna sound normal.
Yeah, they would have been like, okay.
Unfollow. Like, yeah.
Love to hear it, folks. Guys, it's time for the part where I say please rate, review, and subscribe. Join us on Patreon. Join us, one among many. WhatsApp popping off. Tons of bonus episodes. Bi-weekly happy hours. And we love you. Please support us. Thank you. And now let's do some Guess the Verdict. AITA, for not giving up my train seat.
I'm going to go with not the asshole.
Not the asshole is not the answer.
Wow.
OP is on a train. It's a 7-hour trip. He's with his kids. This is like a guy with like 5 kids or some shit. They're so tired. And one of the kids is 7. She's his daughter. And this old man comes up and is like, you're in my seat.
That's what the guy says.
Yes. Directly to the daughter, right? Like to a 7-year-old. You're in my seat, young lady. Oh. And so the dad was like, look, sir, you know, the train is still filling up. So we thought it would be fine. And he's like, and he freaks out.
Was it like assigned seats on the train?
That's what's not really clear. Yes. It did say there were reserved seats, but get ready for this. So then the guy leaves. It comes back with a member of the staff and is like, they're in my seat. Rah! And the staff goes, sir, just find another seat.
That's funny.
So OP is kind of...
Staff was like, I don't want to deal with this. They don't pay me enough.
Yeah, well, and I guess the way I feel is like, I feel like these reserve seats must be pretty, pretty minor upgrade, right? Because like something like this would never fly with like first class on a plane, right? They're going to be like, get the fuck out of here, sir. What do you think you're trying to pull? But like, I'm like, is this like a megabus reserve?
Or even like Amtrak, I'm kind of wondering. I think Amtrak, they would be like... move to they don't have assigned seats on Amtrak, but I guess if you went into business class on Amtrak and you didn't have a ticket, they'd be like, get out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We didn't get any train information, but it didn't seem that unreasonable. And the fact that the staff member could and would cave that quickly, like, unless this guy, that's what somebody said, is that, you know, the only reason he caved is because this guy was like, get out of here. Anyway, top comment. Just freaking out. So top comment, Therion Kemper, YTA, he paid for that seat, and your level of entitlement is staggering. I'm honestly shocked that the staff member sided so blatantly with you. If the train, quote unquote, wasn't that full, why would you sit in the reserve spots? So
that's a fact.
Yeah, but I'm also like,
I think the train conductor, whoever, was just like over it that day. Like, maybe if you caught him on a different day, he would have been like, get out. Interesting. Okay. Well, AITA for not leaving work to go pick up my boyfriend from the hospital.
Not leaving work to go pick up the boy from the hosp. Oh, man. I could see how that would make you an asshole, because it's like scary leaving the hospital, you know, if something went down. But maybe OP thinks it's minor. She's got a high stress job. I'm not good at this. I don't know why I'm pretending like I am. NTA.
Ooh, that is right.
Hoo-hoo-hoo-wee.
Yeah, so basically, this is actually a pretty dark situation. The key is that basically the boyfriend does this all the time. Like, he gets injured, he goes to the hospital, he forces the girlfriend, who is a sole, like, earner, to drop everything and pick him up. And she's lost jobs because of this, and she didn't do it. And, I mean, this guy sucks. He's, like, abusive. Piece of shit. So, that's basically that. The top comment was from Basketball Wife. Oh, that is really at least a top 25 username, I think.
Absolutely.
And it was, NTA, girl, throw the whole man away. You're not a taxi service. He does not care about you, your well-being, or your job. It would seem he's trying to control you through having multiple accidents, quotes, that require you to drop everything and come running. And they also added, I would not be surprised if this escalates to physical violence. I wouldn't either. Please be safe and plan an exit strategy.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
100%.
AITA for telling my son's new boyfriend that he's not part of the family because they are not married yet.
Yes, I think I remember this one. This was like a pretty big YTA.
YTA is correct. It is a huge YTA. Yes. I actually struggled to summarize it because it was just so heinous. Everything this mother-in-law said.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like, what is wrong with you? She goes, yeah. My son started dating a guy 13 years younger. As far as I know, he has a job, but he's too young for my son. It's not that I don't like him. It's that I feel they're not compatible. My son's well-educated, successful, and I don't want this guy to take advantage. Meanwhile, this guy has a normal job. And that is where I said,
right.
What? Why would it be a mark against someone to have a normal job?
Right.
You know, like, God, you're mad at him for being normal? Please, I'm trying so hard to be normal. I'm not even there.
Right? Wild.
She goes on, ridiculous, impolite, and then it just gets blatantly classist. He has no class. He's ridiculous and inappropriate. What does that mean, be ridiculous? That's a weird way of describing, oh, they're ridiculous. That sounds kind of fun. I like a ridiculous person.
It's like, I don't hate him, but here's all the reasons why I do clearly hate this guy.
It's crazy. She goes, I don't like the youthful way in which he dresses, the mannerisms.
Because he's young?
Like,
okay.
What are you talking about? I consider it
rude. Oh, my God. Just say you don't like the guy. I hate when people act like this. It's like, say what you actually mean and are getting at. Like, just stop.
Yeah. So then basically she just says he's not a member of the family because they're not married. And it's like, well, obviously that's a hurtful thing to say, lady. Necromandy with the top comment. YTA, you're classist. You seem snooty and controlling. Just be happy your son is happy. And then this is another thing. This you can always tell someone they're trying to come for someone and they have just their charges are ridiculous.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
OP called the boyf impolite, and yet he offered to help clean up. And then she said no, and he cleaned up anyway. And she actually included that. I'm like, wow, you're really not selling.
That's so polite.
That's so polite. Oh, my God. I would never do that.
Wow. Absurd.
Absurd.
All right.
Tie game here, folks. Here we go.
Tie game. Pressure is on. AITA for turning my wife's workout room into an office despite getting a no from her.
I mean, Sarah, you are a trickster because this just seems so obvious. Oh, you're just gonna get rid of the workout room? I love that workout room. We had the Palo Tone and we had the foam
that was a
rollers.
Deep cut. Oh my God.
We had the big foamy and the little foamy, and now it's an office? Sarah, what kind of devil work is this? Fuck.
Oh.
I'm gonna throw a rogue ESH. Let's do this, people.
Oh my God, he did it, folks! Oh! The rogue ESH! Holy smokes, he did it. Wow.
Whoa. I mean, I'm so happy right now. I think I'm going to cry. That's insane.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the OP has been unemployed for a couple months, finally got a job, needs him to work from home. And in order to work from home, he needs a quiet space. The only problem is they're in a 3-bedroom apartment with 2 kids. Now the wife has a workout room with all of her workout equipment. And the husband was like, will you let me turn this into an office? The wife said no. So they kind of go back and forth. He's like, here's why I need the office. She's like, here's why I need the workouts. She apparently, it says she has a number of disorders that she only manages via working out. So it, you know, I guess it's serious.
Okay.
And it's not just like, I want to get gains, bro. But while she was out one day, he moved all of her stuff out, moved the office in. So obviously she freaked out. And the top verdict now is ESH, neither of you is willing to compromise. You could have turned this room into a half and half, but neither of you consider that option. You're both acting like children.
Seems fair. They're not compromising.
Yeah, big ESH moment.
Well, Sarah, I believe I decisively won that one.
Yeah.
Wow, people.
Yes, you won fair and square.
This could be my year, people, for Guess the Verdict. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shout out to the patrons. Somebody wished me luck, actually. They're like, good luck out there.
Right.
They know it's been a bad record. We should. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Patreon, join us up. We'd love to see it. And let's do this thing, folks. Our second story of the day. My adult daughter has shut me out of her life and says it's my fault, AITA. We're going to ding that for the formatting a little bit, but that's okay. Our first situation of the day. AITA for agreeing to go to a restaurant that only serves spicy food when I can't handle anything spicy.
Relatable.
Right? My 37M wife's 35F birthday was this past weekend. She wanted to go to this specialty Sichuan restaurant because she is from that region. Sichuan food is known to be really spicy and is a lot more than I can handle. She knows I can't do spicy. And we've been trying to work on my tolerance with her cooking, but it's still not that good. I told her this and suggested we go to a regular Chinese restaurant, but she claimed it's not the same. She said there will be non-spicy options. And at worst, she could ask them to make it not spicy. She clung to me and gave me those cute eyes that I couldn't say no to. So I gave in and agreed. Aww. It's her birthday, so I didn't want to ruin her day. Well, turns out I did anyway. We were at the restaurant and the entire menu was in Chinese. They had an English one, but didn't really tell me what was spicy and what was not. I let her order a few dishes. The food came and it was all spicy. Even the one she said wouldn't be. I tried to eat it, but I couldn't. So I asked her if she can ask them to make it less spicy. She told me to take it slowly and to eat more rice. I wasn't enjoying it. Asked her again. She got a little huffy, but called the waiter over. The waiter gave me a look, like one of those confused, why are you here looks, but took a dish back.
Ooh.
It came back out. Rough. Wasn't as spicy, but still has a kick. I think it's the sauce or something. I told the waiter it's still too spicy for me. And the waiter said they can't make it any less spicy than that. My wife was embarrassed because the tables next to us were looking. When the waiter went away, I asked her if we can go to another restaurant. She said she didn't want to since we're already here and we already have food on the table. I may be the asshole here because I started getting frustrated and saying that we've been out all day and I haven't eaten and now I won't be able to eat because everything is spicy. She told me to just eat the rice and we'll get something after. I got really offended and got up and left, walked around for a bit to cool down, then came back to see her by her car. She was furious and said I embarrassed her. I said she knew I couldn't handle spicy and she said I shouldn't have agreed to the restaurant. AIT for agreeing. In hindsight, I could have probably eaten the dish that came back with a lot of rice, but I wouldn't enjoy it. I don't think I can get used to spicy food.
Okay, so I'm not sure if we're going to disagree on this because okay, this is going to sound bad. I'm trying to find a way to say this that's not bad. But I'm like, I don't get people who like have to enjoy every single meal that they eat. It's just, This is life. You're not going to enjoy every single meal that you eat. This was your wife's birthday. You're doing this for her. Eat some rice. Like, so what if this is not the best meal that you've ever had? Like, it's her birthday and it's going to make her happy. Like, just eat the rice.
I swear to God, I had that same thought. Oh. And I'm relieved because I have a massive bias. I love Sichuan food. It's my favorite Chinese food. And Chinese food is one of my favorite cuisines because there's so much variety. You could go to one Chinese place, it's a totally different thing than another Chinese place. And it's amazing. And I almost feel annoyed at the word spicy because I think Sichuan is so weird. The spices are so interesting. And there's like a cool mint one. It's almost like a Doritos Cool Ranch, but of Chinese food.
Oh, I love that.
But, like, incredible.
Yeah, I kind of wanted you to describe it because someone kind of in the comments was like trying to describe how it's not really spicy in the traditional way that we think of it.
No, it's not like sweating spicy. But look, it's fair.
But it's like spices spicy.
Yes, yes.
My parents are like this. Like, I think my mom thinks anything above black pepper is like spicy. And I'm like, Mom, relax.
This tastes like something.
I'm like, this is just flavor. Exactly.
No.
Sometimes I'm truly just like, this is just a flavor. Like, I don't know how to tell you.
This has a distinctive flavor that I'm not familiar with and it isn't mashed potatoes. look, I can mock these people all I want. I think, you know, to see his side a little bit, picky people are picky and they are annoying, but that's...
I can see his side in that, like, I want to be able to handle spice, but like, I kind of just can't. And when you're eating something spicy, like, it just gets progressively worse. So it's not really like fun.
Well,
so that's as much as I can like see his side.
I'm very biased because I love to get all spiced out. Not every time I go out to eat, but I also disagreed with you when you're like, you're not going to enjoy every meal in your life. I was like, no, that's where you're wrong. I enjoy every single thing I've ever eaten.
Wow.
Seriously, there's
sometimes I order the wrong thing at a restaurant and I get like so sad. Like, I'm just like, I kind of am going to go home and have another dinner.
Are you one
like,
of those? You order an Eggs Benedict at a diner? Don't do it, people.
No, but like sometimes I'll go to a place that I like. Mm-hmm. I'll always have my tried and true dish and then I'll be like, let me try something new. And then I'm always disappointed that it wasn't the thing that I liked.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
I'll get thing X when I'm really secretly in the mood for thing Y. So then when thing X comes, I'm like, fuck. Things like that.
Right.
I get sad, but yeah, not enough to make a tantrum about it. I'm just like, all right, I won't order that again.
Yeah. No, suck it. I mean, look, summarily, suck it up and eat the rice, bro. I'm totally with that. It looks like people are read it. I love this username. I'm going to give this a top five usernames. I like seals a lot.
Aw. Seals are cute.
I guess it's funny because like, hi, nice to meet you. What's your name? I like seals a lot. Okay. We can talk about seals, so I'll go there. Anyway, YTA, your wife
love
is
it.
Homesick. Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, because she's from there.
True.
And this was her birthday. You could have just eaten the rice or held out into dessert or got McDonald's afterwards. I did want to say, in OP's defense, Sarah, hanger is real.
For sure.
So I can actually give OP some leeway. Hanger is a huge problem. I'm sure that like many people are in prison who otherwise wouldn't be.
Yikes.
People had like unnecessarily long prison sentences, like people lost their jobs.
No.
Like hanger is honestly a problem in our society because it's crazy. If I'm a little bit hungry, I'm like a monster person.
I know. One time I cried out of hanger. So
really?
I get it. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I was in summer camp. This was summer. My friend and I decided to do the vegetarian option, which you can do. And I don't know. I was just really hungry. And the vegetarian option had like no protein. It was just like couscous and vegetables. And I was like so pissed that I cried. And then I got some peanut butter.
Ooh.
But yeah, that was the time I cried out of hanger. My friend Sophie has never let me forget that.
Never forget. In three words, they said, right, ESH. Okay. There are a bunch of ways to make this work, but neither of you really put the effort in. She backed off as soon as you getting something non-spicy was mildly inconvenient, then spun it as you being the issue. And you knew you were going to a restaurant where you might not get a full meal and you didn't prepare, then you blamed your wife. Yeah, but it's her birthday, so I'm like, yeah, he should shut up. You should.
I know.
That should have just been the ask. Like, I don't understand why this guy doesn't understand that. It's like, yo, just like, that's the ask. It's her birthday.
Right.
Go wherever you want, honey.
Like, she was being uncompromising, but like, she tried in her way, but I think she probably knew deep down that he wasn't gonna like enjoy it. So I don't think that she chose a restaurant that was like a compromise for them both.
Right.
But it is your birthday, and I think you get that pass.
I think so, people. I think the birthday is the one day you get to act like an entitled SOB, and that's literally the day.
Sure.
What does everybody say? They go, well, we can do that as long as it's what the birthday girl wants. Those are the rules of a birthday. Those are the rules.
100%.
ATA for agreeing to go to a restaurant that only serves spicy food when I can't handle anything spicy. Well, not on the title literal, because that would be weird. But you're definitely the
True.
Asshole for just not shutting up and letting your wife have a good birthday. But we're going to...
And for, like, leaving the restaurant. Like, you just threw a tantrum.
That reads to me like severe hanger. Like, didn't want to eat that thing.
I mean, it's tantrum.
Yeah, no.
It's tantrum status.
No, it's immature.
And, like, to even, like, say we should go to another restaurant. Like, you literally have food here already. Like, what? No.
Yeah.
Eat the rice.
Eat the rice.
That's the motto.
Guys, please rate, review, and subscribe. We really appreciate that. I no longer read the reviews because they are damaging to my mental health and I dwell on them endlessly. So, but I still really...
Every time you say that, I feel like we get like five direct emails that like I get a push notification into my inbox. So it's actually more in your face than a review.
It's just me soliciting. That's my weird way of compliments, fishing for compliments.
Oh my God.
No, just help. Just please leave a rating and a review because it helps the podcast grow. We really appreciate it. And join us on Patreon.
Yeah.
We got a lot of content and you get it. You get it. You get it. You get it. I'm not going to say anymore.
Oh my
you
God. That's so funny.
All right, guys, we're going to kind of shift gears here. I think this is going to go a little bit heavy. We were kind of in the land of Sichuan peppercorn, which I freaking love.
And rice, yeah.
Hit me with them beef tendons. Come on, where are my Sichuan fans at? So good. Such interesting food.
Okay, now I want to go have this.
Oh my God, let's go. When I'm in the city, we'll go.
Yes.
It's very, I got to warn you, it is, and this is where I see, even though it is a white person way to talk, to be like, that's spicy, meaning it has lots of spices, but I guess technically that doesn't make sense. But yeah, I will say, I have actually had sleepless nights because it is very, very salty. So you got to chug water. Okay. You got to pregame with water, you got to postgame with water, but it is so delicious and interesting. I can't wait to go.
Okay, I'm excited.
You.
I love salt.
Here we go. My adult daughter has shut me out of her life and she says it's my fault, AITA. 4 years ago, 1 month before my 30th wedding anniversary, my husband left.
Damn.
Yeah, that's an ouchie. I had spent the day with my elderly mother and on my way home, I get a text from my husband saying he was moving out and would not be home when I got there. Sure enough, he was gone and he left with only the clothes on his back and his computer.
Holy shit.
That's the most man.
That's like, dang, you really want to get the fuck out.
I don't know. That just feels like man thinking to me because I think the same way. I'm like, all right, I'm taking a trip. All right, what do I need to pack? Computer first. Anyway.
Oh my God. When I went to Costa Rica, I had like a giant checked bag and our one friend literally shows up with a backpack and he's like, oh yeah, I just breezed right through since I didn't check a bag. And I was like, hold up. You brought a backpack for an entire week's trip?
Oh, you nasty.
I was just like, holy shit. They're like literally opposite ends of the spectrum. So anyway.
He left with the clothes on his. So he literally said, what about tomorrow? He goes, let's see. I'll wear the same thing I'm wearing and I'll have my computer. That was literally this guy. Anyway.
Hey, you can buy more clothes on your computer. I see. No
problem.
I use
the computer to find a location of clothes. Anyway, the last 6 years, our marriage had been rocky. My husband started drinking heavily. Okay, so now this all makes sense.
Oh boy.
He was falling down, breaking furniture, having severe memory loss even when he was sober.
No.
Okay, well, whatever. We'll just let that fly. He stayed in his den playing video games, watching.
Why? What don't you like? What doesn't ring true about that for you?
I mean, it's just like probably if he had severe memory loss, he was just drunk when he thought he was sober. He was probably just drunk. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't really.
Or I'm like, you have memory loss when you're sober because that stuff happened when you were drunk and you don't remember it when you're sober. I don't know.
He stayed in his den playing video games, watching porn, getting drunk and passing out. Our physical relationship was non-existent. Anytime I tried to talk to him about it, he'd get furious and say things like it was none of my business or he wasn't going to spend all his time with me or just flat out ignore me. Oh my God.
Cool.
This is sad.
Horrible.
Even during the good years of our marriage, if I ever tried to stand up for myself, he would deliberately turn his chair around and stare at the wall. What the
God?
Who is this guy?
What kind of like child did you marry? Jesus.
Or he would roll his eyes like a snarky 13-year-old and never say a word until I was in a rage and he would call me a crazy bitch or I was stupid or why I was always starting an argument.
Oh my God.
Okay, so this guy went from like idiot guy who leaves with only a computer to like fully toxic monster.
Yeah.
His behavior was demoralizing. One day I discovered he had opened a bank account only in his name and was taking household money and saving it for himself. When I asked about it, he said it was his money and it was none of my business. I worked our entire marriage and also did the chores and childcare. I didn't have money that was just mine. We had a daughter who is now married and a son that was born with a difficult and life-threatening disease. He worshipped our daughter and disowned our son who has struggled all his life.
Good Lord.
Damn. This is ugly. Fuck this guy. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks before he left my husband, he had to have an appendectomy because during one of his drunken states, he decides to move the treadmill and it falls on him and ruptures his appendix. Whoa.
Ouch.
That was kind of nice. At least he got God punished him a little. During his recovery, I stayed away from him because that was his request. But the week he returned to work, I asked him if he wanted to watch a TV show with me. OMG, he erupted, saying I was always nagging him. Shortly after that, he left. I'm not totally sure, but I think he told our daughter before he even told me. The weekend after he left, our daughter and husband came home to visit. By the time she got to my house, she had talked extensively with my husband. She told my husband that she was behind him leaving because life was too short to be unhappy.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's weird. My husband refused to come get his stuff, but he made our daughter his messenger and errand boy. So I told her point blank that I would not give her anything. Here's what she told me. I was a mean and miserable human being, and all I wanted to do was start arguments. She fiercely protected his privacy while telling him everything I was doing. I felt so betrayed and heartbroken. I told her how I felt and I told her she was wrong for putting herself in the middle of this and I wanted her to know how painful this all was for me. All I wanted was for her to give me a hug, say she loves me, and then stay out of mine and her dad's problems. She has refused over and over again to talk to me. has even threatened to block my phone number. When I filed for divorce, my lawyer said I needed to find him so the papers could be served. Find my husband. Since I was not allowed to know where he was, I did some digging on the computer, and he had, by the way, big situation for computers. Sorry. Since I was not allowed to know where he was, I did some digging on the computer, and he had my daughter's address as his residence. I texted her and asked if he was living there. She exploded and said if he wasn't and if she knew where he was, she would never tell me. My lawyer sent the papers to her address and he got them quickly. About a year after my husband left, my best friend dropped dead from a brain aneurysm. I was devastated.
Oh my God.
My friend and her family were a big part of all our lives. When my daughter was told, her reaction was stone cold, emotionless. My friend's death was a total shock to everyone, and my daughter seemed totally apathetic. She seemed to be trying to hurt me. I haven't spoken to my daughter in a year. A year ago, she wrote me a letter saying she didn't feel safe around me, and I had to agree to some confusing boundaries or she is done with me. Do I deserve this treatment? AITA.
So, wow. Okay, this is really, like, wild. I will say that, I mean, this husband sounds horrible and abusive. It sounds like the daughter literally takes after her dad in, like, all the worst ways.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the only non-conspiracy reading I can give of this situation as it is written. And I don't want to, like, victim blame OP at all. Like, it sounds like she's been through hell and back. But this did remind me of a concept on Reddit called missing reasons. And I just kind of wanted to bring it up and talk about it because I don't know that it's relevant here. I mean, this husband seems horrible. The daughter also seems horrible. And I'm like, how?
But that's
like,
it,
how
Sarah.
Could you watch your right. So it's like, how could you watch your dad like be an alcoholic, verbally abuse your mom and still side with him and think your mom is horrible?
Exactly. It doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up unless she is literally just like his spitting image, you know, which is like a fit, like, which is possible.
Possible. But I'd say in general, good rule of thumb, if someone seems to have always been the victim, like, oh, why they're always the victim, everyone's against them, you're about to be their victim. You know, like that's what this is. Cause this is how they frame the world to get sympathy from people. And I have to say, a line that really hit me in the gut was, do I deserve this treatment? To me, that actually spells out OP's motivation, and it really makes it, to me, renders it so much more of a validation post, because it's like, why would you think that we would think you deserve this? You know, so it's like, that's her intent almost, is to make the point like, I obviously don't deserve this because these are such horrible, random things happening. Everyone is so horrible to me, horrible. And it's like, well, maybe. I mean, it's not impossible that these two people are monsters, but it seems more likely that you're painting a picture.
Right. The missing reasons, it comes up a lot. And I think it's really interesting.
So just to understand, this is when people post on these like estranged parents forums. Mm-hmm. And then they
that's kind of where the term originated.
So then the parent will say in the post, like, you know, oh, all of a sudden my daughter stopped talking to me and untoward of nothing. And those are sort of the missing reasons. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah. So, okay. They'll first say that their children never gave them any reason. This is from Issenday.com, Issenda. Mm-hmm. So it, basically the theory is that like the people who post on this forum will say like, oh, the kids never gave me any reason why. And then they'll kind of betray themselves and reveal that, in fact, they did tell them why, but they won't say what was told to them. So, like, here's an example of one of these missing reasons. My sons consistently refuse to reply to my emails and let my calls go to voicemail, or barely speak if they do answer. They accuse me of being a terrible person, but won't elaborate about what exactly I've done. Well, sometimes they do, but it doesn't make sense, at least to me. That's, like, a missing reason, because it's like, I don't know why. Well, sometimes they do tell me why, but like, I just don't get it. So that's like a missing reason. And it's kind of what you're saying. It's just like the way that's the world is being painted.
Right.
Like if a reason kind of rejects this person's story or their worldview or the way that they view themselves, they just disregard it. Like here, I think we see a missing reason when like the daughter writes a letter saying she doesn't feel safe and I had to agree to some confusing boundaries.
Yes.
Like, What was the letter? Why doesn't she feel safe? What are those boundaries and why are they confusing?
Exactly. Exactly. It's picture painting. I don't trust this OP at all. That is some picture painting. I'm not necessarily saying everything she's saying is false about her husband, but I think what we're looking at is a toxic family system, right? I mean, maybe this guy is destroyed because, you know, she's very difficult to live with or whatever. But no, I love this point about the missing reasons. And, you know, to me, this is a classic just people. There are people and there are OPs who are going to submit and they want to know the truth, you know, and we all have friends like this, and probably our closest friends are the ones that, you know, they actually come to us ready to listen and learn and hear real feedback. Yeah. But there are other people who are basically going to feed you a bullshit story and they're going to want to have their bullshit kind of hit back at them. And that's all they want. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, manipulative.
Yeah. So, I mean, just also in this article, it said, why do they do it? Many members truly can't remember what their children said. Anything tinged with negative emotion, anything that makes them feel bad about themselves, shocks them so deeply they block it out. This emotional amnesia shapes their entire lives. So then they only associate with people who won't criticize them and kind of things like that. But the writer also goes on to say that for these people, emotion creates reality. But there's another type of people for like the opposite, but that this is just like one type of people and the type of people who do this, where I feel like for most of us, our emotions will react to what's going on around us. But in these cases, it's kind of like the opposite, like their emotions kind of cause them to be just like selective about what they think is happening to them.
Right, right. Absolutely. I mean, I think the phrase emotion creates reality is super insightful, because I think it helps you look at inside what it's like to, you know, have personality disorder traits. And you know, look, I always think we should empathize with everybody as much as we can, try to understand. But like, I really hear my understanding of this. I kind of went on this like personality disorder kick for a while and learned everything I could. And, you know, I think for narcissists and cluster B types, there's a very fragile self-concept. So it's very paradoxical, right? Because, you know, people associate narcissism with vanity and thinking so highly of yourself. But really, these people are, they are obsessed with and very concerned with projecting a false self-image. And so anytime that image is kind of challenged, like that you're not perfect, it is extremely painful to them. Mm. So they, you know, you or I would be like, oh, like I did a shitty thing. You know, like I've done a million shitty things. I don't think I'm a shitty person.
Who hasn't? Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought Darvo was kind of relevant here. I don't know if you guys know Darvo.
Yeah,
but
I see that on Reddit all the time.
I think Darvo's good. So Darvo is sort of how a lot of kind of like toxic or manipulative people or personality sort of people approach things. And it's deny, attack, and then reverse victim and offender. And so it's that thing of, yes, like, you know, just they're going to switch the roles. So like, I'm pretty confident this husband isn't like in great shape, but like I suspect that there's a lot more nuance and understanding that can be had about why he is now an alcoholic who ran away with just his computer and his fucking, you know, Dave Matthews Band t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's I feel like we see this all the time where it's like, I didn't do that. How dare you accuse me of doing that? I can't believe you think that I would do that. I can't believe you think I'm so horrible. And now you are comforting them when you were actually just calling them out for something bad that they did.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the question about this that I have chewed on for some time is like, you know, do they know? Does a person know what they're doing when they do this?
That's the thing. Like when I was with my like emotionally abusive ex-boyfriend, mm-hmm. like he did shit like this all the time and gaslighting. And like, I think it varies from person to person, but I don't think that he was this like evil mastermind who like knew exactly like how to press this button. Like I don't think that he was ever thinking of it in terms of like, if I say A, then B will happen, then C will happen, and D.
Right.
But I kind of think that like he just always wanted to get what he wanted and would kind of just do whatever that took.
Right.
But I don't think it was like a very like thought out and methodical plan. I think it was just like, I want to get what I want. I'm not going to be challenged. I'm not going to compromise on anything. And then it was like, well, how do you do that? Well, you gaslight. Well, you manipulate, you know, and you do all these things. Well, you destroy someone's self-esteem. So
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's my personal theory.
I think that's it. It's that it isn't a calculated mastermind thing because, like, you know, that's what somebody could do. But really, you know, most of these people, it comes from an emotional place, a deep, deep place. And that is why, you know, if you confront them or try to get in on this and, like, kind of try to analyze it rationally, you can't get anywhere because it's not made of reasoning. You know, it's not mm-hmm. murder one. It's like it's just super emotional and super charged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking, I think I'm with you that in some cases they do know, but I really generally don't think they fully understand, like, people who act like this.
I don't think so either. Because I also think people, like, everybody thinks the best of themselves and the best of their intentions. And so, like, even if you were to confront someone with, like, something manipulative they did, like, they would probably just see it as, like, well, here's this justifying reason. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
It wouldn't be like, oh, you caught me.
Exactly. Because if you hit them with the reality, you know, like, it's so easy for me to say, like, oh, I fucked up, man. I'm really sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I made you feel disrespected or whatever it may be. Whereas you hit someone like that, you know, someone who kind of operates like this, and it just becomes like a level 10 problem for them to just say, like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I made a mistake. They can't do that because their self-concept mm-hmm. is so fragile. So it's extremely painful, the idea that they have a flaw, like that they have a single flaw.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from a place, probably the worst place where these things can originate, which is like they weren't really properly loved by their parents. They didn't develop like good early nurturing relationships. And so the skills that were kind of fostered during that time, their way of relating with the world is kind of locked into, you know, however you kind of grew up, however you came online as a, you know, an affectionate person, as someone who functions in like the social world. And so I think, you know, I think I told you this in another conversation, Sarah, but I think it's fair to say that it's somewhat like riding a bike. It's like, yeah, those are the very basic.
Yes, we did talk about that.
Yeah, those are the very basic skills. And once you know how to ride a bike, you can't really explain it. You just kind of felt it. And now you got it. Just like, you know, can any one of us sit here and be like, well, this is how you relate to other people? It's like, no, you just mm-hmm. do that. And when you have developed in this way, trying to get someone to change is like saying, oh, forget how to ride a bike. Well, good luck with that. You
mm-hmm.
can't.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah. I don't think it's possible. I don't think you can erase it. It's just there. You know how to.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
So it's like you could talk through it. You can have moments of recognition, but that doesn't mean that you're going to not be able to ride a bike. You know, that's how you know, and you can't really learn a new way. I guess the analogy is starting to fall apart. But anyway, I think it's kind of interesting. So
yeah, no, I definitely think it's interesting. And I think this missing reasons concept like comes up a lot in various situations.
I think it's great. I think it's great. I like it a lot. And, you know, I think Conspiracy Town is a fun place to go. I feel like we went there. I feel like Conspiracy Town really got a great show. But to bring us to, you know, playing it as it lays, which in this case I would say is almost disingenuous because it's fraught with problems, you know. But if
there's so much we're not going to know, so I think
it's like
almost all we can do is play it as it lays.
I mean, playing it as it lays, I guess the way you kind of put this was maybe the daughter is sort of enmeshed with the father, you know, spinning image or something like that, some dynamic like that. And
or like even in like divorces, like sometimes a parent will like poison the kids against the other parent.
Yeah.
It could have happened.
Absolutely. I mean, if all that was true and, you know, of course, poor OP, but it just seems like in a world where everyone is against you, I'm wondering if. Yeah, that's really what's going on here. Confusing boundaries also. Weird thing to accuse someone of. What were the boundaries like? Okay, don't come into my house without asking on a Tuesday unless there's a cuckoo clock going off. Like, I somehow suspect you didn't like the boundaries, and so you decided they were confusing because you didn't want to follow them.
That could be true.
Yeah, so.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. Reddit has some bangers. This is a missing reasons is a banger. Another banger is my wife left me because I left the dishes next to the kitchen sink or something.
Yeah,
that is such a good one, like such a classic. Ugh, I love Reddit.
Yeah, That's the missing reasons, because it's like, oh, really?
Yes.
So you...
It's like, wait, no, you just never fucking did anything.
Right,
and like,
right.
Yeah, that was a really good one too.
So I guess to get onto a verdict here, I think this is...
Info, but I don't need more info. Like,
my adult daughter shut me out of her life and she says it's my fault, AITA. I think we're calling this a bad case of like picture painting of some kind, but I mean, playing it super literal and playing it as it lays, I guess I would say, you know, NTA, and they are, but it's just like...
Right.
You know what it is? It's like a good movie, too. Whenever a movie has an antagonist that has a little bit of meat to them, you know, like they're not just pure evil. Pure evil, no one's pure evil. You know, like that's like a cartoon character.
I can think of like two people.
You could think of two people?
Think of a few. I think we could think of a few, like, yeah, I see your point.
I see where you're going.
Like some public figures, but yeah.
Well, yes, but I mean, I guess what I'm saying is it's understanding. I'm pretty sure we're on the same page, which the two people who we're thinking of, but you know, he convinced a lot of people. So in other words, there was something there that people were able to latch on to.
I think it's so funny. You're thinking of Hitler and my first thought was Trump. Oh my God. That's hilarious.
I believe Trump is made of something far more chaotic than pure evil.
He's chaotic evil.
Very chaotic
evil. Oh my
evil.
God.
We wish it was more pure because the chaos is more dangerous, frankly, than the evil with
him. It's so true. Oh my God.
But yeah, it's like, you know, when they were like, I just, all I want to do is have all the money in the world. And you're like, okay.
Yes, I never understood that. Why do you want to control the world? What are you going to do with it when you've blown it to smithereens?
Right. I'm going to destroy the entire world. It's like, okay. What's your end game?
Yeah, then what? This is the only planet we know of that sustains life. Like, good luck.
Where are you going? So.
That's so funny.
All right, guys. Well.
Oh, that was fun. We got to a nice philosophical place. I'm not a philosophy major, as one of the new patrons like is, but
yes,
but I still enjoyed that journey.
I got a lot of joy out of this. I am gonna, you know, unfortunately read a tweet here, but I tweeted out big congrats to my philosophy degree. It's never been mentioned in any context by anyone ever at all. And yesterday a podcast listener said they like that I have it. And I was saying, you know, this is like a Pulitzer. For a philosophy degree, this is a Pulitzer Prize to have a single person, because nobody cares about a philosophy degree, but I like it. And, you know, I was flattered that they picked up on it and, you know, saw that. So it was a great compliment. Thank you. Thank you, dear listener.
It has served you well.
It has served me well. Thank you, Sarah. Sometimes I feel like I'm an idiot, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that's the ep. It's been a wild ride. I'd really appreciate it if you rate, reviewed, and subscribed and joined us on Patreon. But if not, that's cool, too. You know, maybe go outside, take a little walk, sing a song to yourself. You know, maybe do that instead. You know, it's your life, and I want you to have a good time. And much love, and we'll see you next Monday morning.
Sure will.